the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The wind took my sermon away, but fortunately all pages are here. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. Friends, we come this morning broken and helpless, emotions raw and tender from all that went on this past week and the past few weeks. We come here in the house of God with our heads down, seeking to hear words of comfort and peace and encouragement for these challenging days. Our psalm for today perhaps best describes our mood. Prophet Amos's vision of plumb line just served Israel in the past in seeing how far she strayed off course from the path of justice and righteousness. Today it serves us as a measure how we heed the word of God. The concept of loving God and loving your neighbor, just as it was challenging for Jesus' audience in the first century, is challenging for us today as well. By reflecting on this most often told parable of Jesus, the Good Samaritan, I would like us to come away with two important lessons. The hero of our story today is both an outsider as well as he was compassionate. And for Israelites, for the Jews of Jesus' time, Good Samaritan is an oxymoron. How can a Samaritan be good? How can an outsider can be good and compassionate? Responding to the lawyer's contractual fine print, who is my neighbor? Jesus tells the parable of a priest and a Levite who lose their opportunities to be good, to do good, to someone who is abused. The person who turns out to be the helper happens to be a Samaritan. Unthinkable scenario. Just as many of Jesus' parables have a twist, this one also has a twist, the meaning and the consequence of which is huge for our times, especially these days, especially during this political season. The picture Jesus drawing here is not just about showing mercy. If that was the case, the hero in the parable could have been a fellow Jew, as his audience must have been naturally expecting. After the priest and after the Levite, they thought it was going to be a Jew, a layperson who is Jew. However, that is not Jesus' storyline, because Jesus wants to accomplish more through this parable than just someone showing mercy to an abused person. He also wants us to see the one who is offering mercy is a stranger, and thus to challenge the cherished views and values of his primary audience, the Jews, and thus for us today, who are suffering from the sin of xenophobia. If we lack appreciation for the enormity of Jesus' challenge to his own kind in the first century, it is because we don't understand the depth of the hostility between Jews and Samaritans at the time of Jesus. You get a flavor of this hostility between them in an incident which Luke talks about earlier in his gospel. when the Samaritans did not receive a team that Jesus sent to Samaria to see whether he and his company could go through Samaria, taking a shortcut to Jerusalem. They did not allow. And you know what? John, James and John, the Zebedee boys, they said to Jesus, "Let us order fire to come from heaven and consume all the Samaritans." Of course, Jesus rebuked them. Suffice to say, there is no love lost between the Jews and the Samaritans. Friends, most of us are drawn to people most like us. A couple of years ago at the high school in Phoenixville, there was this multicultural event. At that time, the students at the school told the adults, and especially as religious leaders, you know, when you go to church, people of the same color are going to the same place. They don't mix up. You know, the black people go to the black churches, and the white people go to the white church, and the Koreans go to the Korean church, Indians go to the Indian church. And this is against what you are saying, what you are preaching, that everybody should be together. So most of us are drawn to people most like us. However, throughout the Hebrew Bible, we see a different vision, a higher vision. It keeps asking the Jewish people to love the other, the stranger. The Hebrew Bible, while the commandment to love your neighbor appears only one time, the commandment to love the stranger appears no fewer than 36 times. In Exodus we read, "You shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of the stranger. You yourself were strangers in the land of Egypt." In the book of Leviticus it says, "When a stranger lives with you in your land, do not ill-treat him or her. The stranger who lives with you shall be treated like the native born." Jesus follows this Hebrew teaching of the inclusion of the stranger in the pages of the New Testament on steroids. His life itself is a demonstration of welcoming and loving the stranger. He himself was an outsider. He came from outside. The Greek term for Jesus welcoming of strangers is philonexia. Philonexia. Loving the stranger. It means love of strangers, which is the opposite of xenophobia, or fear or hatred of strangers. In the letter to the Hebrews we read, "Let love of brother and sister continue. Do not forget the love of the stranger." Again, the term used in Greek at that place is philonexia. By making a Samaritan the traditional enemy of the Jewish people, the hero of the most well-known of all of Jesus' parables, Jesus breaks down the wall, dividing walls of hostility between the peoples, between us and whomever we might judge as different, as inferior, or damned, or disgusting, whomever we find to be a stranger, to be strange because of their race, or religion, or class, or color, or gender, or orientation. As far as Jesus is concerned, everyone belongs. Everyone belongs in the kingdom of God. And so, for a Jew, Jesus picked the worst possible example of a hero for his story, a Samaritan, to press his point about inclusion. The other lesson I want us to reflect on is what made this outsider to act. Our focal verses, but a Samaritan while traveling came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He was moved with pity. The word for that is, other word for that is compassion. He was moved with compassion. The extravagant generosity and grace. He undid the violence of the robbers and the neglect of the priest and the Levites. The Samaritan did not limit his neighborhood or his compassion on the basis of law, nor did he desire to justify his extravagance. The despised outsider becomes a model of the compassion of Christ. It is instructive for us to see the Greek origin of the word compassion. Now, it is a little difficult for me to pronounce that, but I'll give it a try. Splagnizomai. Now, splagnon means bowels, intestines, or gut. In other words, the dire state of the abused man goes straight into the heart, and it creates a gut-wrenching feeling in which he empathically identifies with the brokenness of the abused person. Picture that. You had to get near to the person to be able to do that. You cannot just look at it and then pass. You had to go near. And then experience that gut-wrenching feeling. While the priest and the Levite choose to be emotionally absent, the hero of our story opts to be present and becomes emotionally vulnerable, to the point that he is left with no option but to act. Now, it is interesting to see in the end how Jesus twisted the question the lawyer asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? To now, Jesus asking, now, which of the three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? In other words, instead of asking, who is my neighbor, ask ourselves, who am I a neighbor to? How am I being a neighbor in this community, in this world? By Jesus asking this question, he puts the burden on the lawyer and on us. How is our church being a neighbor in this community and in the world? We are not asking who is our neighbor. We are asking how are we being a neighbor to others. Are we drawn to neighbors who are only like us? Are we being extravagant in sharing our resources with those who are in need? Are we being good stewards of our resources? And do we bring to bear what God has entrusted us with in meeting the needs of those who need us, those who depend on us? Friends, our world, our country, our community is in a dire state of being. The income disparity, the racial tensions are fraying our communities. Our country is awash in military-style guns. People are tempted to settle their differences at the point of their guns. Dylan Roof in South Carolina said he hated black people and killed 9 people who were studying Bible in the church. Micah Johnson killed 5 police officers, saying he hated white people and police officers who were doing their work. It goes on and on and on. Today, as a church, do we walk away from the problems facing our society, like the priest and the Levite did from the abused man? Or do we get emotionally involved and compassionately engaged, like the Good Samaritan of our story? Are we being a good neighbor? Let us ask ourselves.